This is a replay of Monday Night Trivia on June 8th on WGN Radio. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings unless sports preempt us, and that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best deal, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, trying to wolf down an entire salad in 2 minutes and not succeeding. However, that's not the only challenge we got tonight because it's Monday Night Trivia. That's right, we've got a straggler from last week that I'll review in a moment. All the bumper stumpers, there's no real theme. Yeah, I've kind of given up on this because for the most part, other than Carl, nobody ever gets, and sometimes Fran, but for the most part, nobody guesses the theme. So we'll just go with songs that I really like that I haven't played on this show in at least a couple of years. That's all they have in common. All right, but I have played them at some point. I play them regularly on KJAA, so they might be known to you. We'll hope. We'll find out, I guess. Now, other than that, of course, you can have your own category, and sky is the limit on that. And that's the best way to do it. The prize, they're worthless. As you know, it takes forever to get anything. So you're doing it for the fun of it. And I am delighted. But eventually you get a certificate and things that you might like. All right. So 888-8, I shouldn't have said Carl. I should have said Stan. Stan and Dearborn. So I was looking at Carl's name because he gave me three requests. It's Stan and Dearborn, who always knows the themes. All right. And he'll know the songs, too. Probably all of them tonight. In any event, let's review, shall we? And that would be the straggler from last week. And this will retire at the end of the night tonight because we don't hold them more than a week ever. Looking at the 50 biggest cities in the United States by population, people in Detroit are most likely to do this. People in Miami are least inclined to do it. Do what? 888-876-5593. 8888-RALEIGH. So let's see what we're going to kick it off with. And of course, yes, we take your requests and try to play them during the week. And sometimes it takes a few weeks. But eventually, forget about classical opera or anything slow by Jackie Wilson. Anything else might be a go. Nick in Baltimore, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh.
How's it going?
I have, Victor and I were talking earlier today. And actually, a couple of hours ago.
Uh-huh.
And we found an old clip of the Milt Grant Show from Channel 5 in Washington.
Oh, nice.
And they played a tune by the cellos called Rang Tang Ding Dong.
I am the Japanese Sandman. All you guys get to say the good parts. All I get to say is, oh, he goes Rang Tang Ding Dong. Yes, I've heard it. Yeah,
so that was my trivia request or whatever.
Okay, the Japanese Sandman, sure. I'll be happy to.
It was neat seeing that clip, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Were they lip syncing it? Were the cellos actually on it, lip syncing?
No, they played the record.
Okay, so they were just dancing to it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was funny because when they started talking in the middle, they stopped dancing.
Right. Well, because it's just, as you know, it's absolute silence. And then he goes, hey, all you guys get to say the good parts. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, on Apollo Records. Yeah, I left that on the dashboard of one of my Corvettes and had this little, it was not warped, it was just this little loop of a warp. You know, I had to, you know, get another copy. But every time I think about, oh man, I decimated that one. But yes, several more copies since then, and I'll be happy to play it. My favorite by them is actually I Beg for Your Love.
So, okay.
Yeah. Right. It's a ballad. But yeah, Japanese Sandman's funny, mostly because of that guy. You know?
You know, before I go, every city had a local bandstand show, right? I mean, just about.
Well, most did. That's why, you know, and remember, back in the day, network television didn't give you programming all day. You had to do something else.
Right.
And so, you know, they'd run old movie clips or whatever. Well, you know, Bob Horn was probably the first, and it was movie clips that he was saddled with, that he stopped doing it. And what had happened in 1952 was he saw... He was over at WIP, of course, you know, he worked for Triangle, for FIL, but he was over at IP, and in the lobby of the IP building, there was a soda fountain, and he saw these kids, you know, abandon their sodas and dance in the aisles of this little soda fountain, and he got the idea, why not put that on television? And he literally was the first in 1952. And after that, you know, every market had one. And yes, of course, Milt Grant, not only responsible for TB5, but then he signed on WDCA TB20. And there was all sorts of shenanigans on that. But Gene Loving in Norfolk, Dick Lamb in Norfolk, of course, by all means, the king of it, as far as I'm concerned. And of course, the movie Hairspray, loosely based on it, was... Yeah, I want to say Corny Collins. That's from Hairspray, of course. But our buddy in Baltimore, who was just terrific. And why can't I? You probably think of his name before I do.
Buddy Dean.
Yes, Buddy Dean. Yes, from Hot Springs, Arkansas. Yeah, and he was just terrific. But when ABC decided they wanted to do one of these shows, you know, you would say, well, it's natural they'll do it in New York. No, they wouldn't do it in New York because of the unions. It was far too expensive a show to do there. So they were up and down the Eastern Seaboard working at, you know, in Miami. It was a guy named Bill Wilder, much later Rick Shaw, but Bill Wilder originally. And virtually every market, like you say, had them, you know, Lloyd Thaxton and on and on. And, they settled on Philadelphia. It was close to New York, but it was because Annenberg owned it, and Annenberg also happened to own TV Guide. So it made sense. Yeah, exactly. But they took one look at poor Bob Horn and his sidekick Lee and said, nah. And so that's why they set him up, and that's why the young announcer from FIL Radio, Dick Clark, was put in his place.
That's a terrible story.
Oh, it is a terrible story, and it damn near killed Bob Horn. But after Bob Horn left town, you know, he went to Houston. He was a radio time salesman for McClendon for a while, and then he's the first guy to ever do Midnight Madness sales. So he was creative in a lot of ways, but sadly died penniless, and it was Jerry Blavitt who paid for his funeral. So yeah, stuff happens. But yes, he was the originator and one of the very few people who was able to move from the pop standards of 52 to the rock and roll of 56 without losing any credibility. I mean, the kids knew he loved the stuff, and he did. He's a former musician. So, yeah, absolutely. But yeah, Milt Grant was great.
You know, yeah, and Milt Grant wound up, he was on the radio as well.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And like I say, he put DCA in. He took a flyer on all sorts of things, a couple Barry Richard shows and all sorts of things that that he did. So, yeah, unfortunately, he, of course, was responsible for the overinflated UHF prices and the ultimate fall of that, which is not a pretty picture. But for a while, he was on top of the world.
Yeah, you know... Yeah, because, it was Grant Broadcasting.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, they say so overpaid for Dallas and Houston, it was unconscionable, you know, that you knew they were going to go belly up. But, man, I'll tell you, independent TV wars in the mid-'80s, you betcha that was a very big thing. Mallright got into the action and some others. We still have the poster in our bathroom from independent TV. So, yes, absolutely. All right. So we will play your cellos probably tomorrow night.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right. So fun stuff. 888-876-5593. Billy Bob in Bourbonnais. All right, Billy Bob. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, 99-time caller, and well, approaching the 100. I'm 100.
Yes, no, I know you were. I figured it was 99. So what are you going to do for the big 100 finale? I mean, I assume the countdown stops then?
Well, I'm going to obsess about it till then. No, no, I don't know. I'm obsessed. I got to say it every time or I'll jinx myself.
Oh, okay, a little OCD going on.
Your question, I think I had to guess it with that one.
Oh, you do you? All right. Oh, man, I better get the bug spray in here. All of a sudden, I'm seeing the no-see-ums as I speak. So I'll give you the question.
They got them here in Illinois, too.
Oh, they got them everywhere. But for some reason, they love me. So looking at the 50 biggest United States cities by population, not area, people in Detroit are most likely to do this. People in Miami are least likely to do it. Do what?
Oh, I misunderstood. I thought what they had, I thought it was they had the worst water system.
Oh, no. It's something the population does.
Had bad water there. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I misunderstood you then. Sorry. Yeah.
All right.
Then I'd like one request before I get my... I'm going to stick with 5x5 because I did swimmingly well there last week, so I'm going to stick with that.
All right, well, hang on a minute. Don't go away. We'll find out your request and more. I'm going for the bug spray. Be back in moments right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. It's Monday Night Trivia. So who are they? They're from Los Angeles, but that was released on King in 1961. They were an interracial trio. So who are they? All right. That's our first bumper stumper. And we're talking with Billy Bob and Bourbon A. And I believe Billy Bob, before he got to his 5x5, was going to plea for requests. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, so this is in addition to Jan Garber and his orchestra, Benny Davis vocal doing Babyface. What else would you like?
Oh, this one was The Monkees.
Oh, God.
With Look Out, Here Comes Tomorrow with Davy Jones, the late Davy Jones on the lead vocals.
Okay. All right.
And then was that song that just played, was that the Swingin' Medallions?
Oh, no.
I'm wrong there, too. I guess I'll have to take the quiz.
All right. You ready?
Okay. Fire away.
What city was the show Golden Girls set?
Oh, I think Miami, Florida.
Yep. Absolutely, Miami it is. How do you find out the age of a tree?
You count its rings.
Absolutely. Who wrote the Harry Potter series?
Oh, boy. That's a lady. Okay. James from Rowlings, J.K. Rowlings, or say Rowlings or something?
J.K. Rowling, I'll take it. By the way, remember, it's 5x5. You have to do them in 5 seconds, and you just made it under the bell, but I am going to be more stringent about that in the future. All right, you just have to get one more, and you got 2 shots at it. Who played Dirty Harry?
Well, Clint Eastwood.
All right, you're a winner. Hang on, don't go away.
Have a good evening.
You too. So there's a 99th caller, a 99th time caller, Billy Bob in Bourbon A. So 888-876-5593. Victor's in Silver Spring. How's it going, Victor?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Enjoyed hearing Nick.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think I have a trivia for you.
Okay.
When Dialing for Dollars calls, what do you have to know?
The count and the amount.
Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah.
I remember it looked like they tore the phone book into little pieces. Yep. And
yeah, 5 from the bottom and $236. Yes, right. And we're calling out now. Yeah, and they'd have a phone right there that they'd dial up.
I don't think I saw anyone know it.
Oh, I saw somebody know it, but my favorite thing was I'd collect the phone numbers, the direct dials, so I could call while they were on the air. And watching them look at the phone ring was my favorite thing. Didn't happen that often, but a couple times I got people.
Yeah. Now, when Channel 20 came on, they had their own dance party with Kirby Scott.
Wingding, 1966.
Yeah, Wingding.
Yep, 1966.
And then when he left, and Jack Alex.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
He was a jockey on WPGC at the time.
Yeah, better known for decimating WCBM with Last Resort broadcasters.
Yeah.
But, you know, Kirby went back to Baltimore after that, and he was on Channel 11, WBAL. And remember, it was Friday at 5 p.m., and I remember this little, Baby Cakes, it's the grooviest. I'm like, give me a break. But
He had a thing about twins.
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are. And we'll pick it up after the news right here and get back to your calls. And we will not spend too much time on this because I know people complain. They want Monday Night Trivia. And I'm ready on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and it's Monday Night Trivia. So who was that? Yeah, 1967. It was on Amy, and a female vocalist. She was actually from the Bay Area. She was in the Fairlanes in the late 50s, if you remember them. A little doo-wop action there, and also in Mark James' group, but doubtfully you'd know that. But you might remember writing this letter by the Fairlanes in 1959. Now, hopefully you remember what I just played. We'll find out. So, we're talking to Victor, and Victor, I'm going to ask you to do me. Call me tomorrow night so we can talk more about Kirby and all this stuff, and we don't have to interrupt Monday Night Trivia.
Okay, well, I'll try the trivia.
Okay. What do you think?
How about Top 40, 1963? Let's see how good my memory is.
Oh, okay. Let's pull out the charts. All right. I love doing this. Now. I loved it. 1963 was a fine year, probably the last fine years. All right, so we'll do This Week in 1963.
Yes.
Okay. Here we go.
See how good my memory is.
Oh, you'll know them all. Number one, It's My Party.
Leslie Gore.
Number two, Sukiyaki.
I can't pronounce the Japanese singer. I can't pronounce the Japanese singer.
Sakamoto. Yeah. Yeah, interesting guy all the way around. And, of course, it wasn't about Sukiyaki. It's just the people at Capitol couldn't actually pronounce the title of the song. But in any event, we'll just leave that there. Number three, Dadu Ron Ron.
Do Ron Ron. The Crystals?
Yes, absolutely, on Phyllis. Number four, I Love You Because. Was a pop standard singer from Philadelphia.
Don't know that one.
Al Martino.
Okay.
Number five, You Can't Sit Down. The vocal version, obviously.
The Dobells.
Good enough. Dovell's good enough. Number six, Two Faces Have I.
Two Faces. Lou Christie.
Yep. Number seven, If You Want to Be Happy.
Jimmy Soul.
Absolutely right. Number eight. Still, country artist, male. Ooh. Though you broke my heart, still, though we're far apart, I love you still. I brought you move a little bit, but that's just me.
I know it was a country singer.
Yes, absolutely. Wrote a lot of stuff. Despicable individual, but yes.
Can't think of it.
Bill Anderson.
Okay.
Okay, if you get the next two, I'll count it. But if you don't, okay. Those Lazy, Hazy, Crazy Days of Summer?
That would be... Nat King Cole, I think.
And number 10, Surfing USA.
The Beach Boys.
All right, good enough. Hang on, don't go away. All right, so not giving points against him for not knowing Kyu Sakamoto. Although it's a fascinating story, what happened to that guy? He was on that JAL flight that lost steering ability. Yeah, it was not good. All right, 888-876-5593, and I have a question. And you can answer it if you want. If not, it is revealed at the end of tonight because it's a straggler from last week. Looking at the 50 biggest, by population, United States cities, people in Detroit are most likely to do this. People in Miami are least likely to do this. Do what? All right, so there's your question, but if you don't like it, have your own category. Everybody knows something about something. Ruth is in Gurnee, wants movie trivia with My Foolish Heart. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, I never get to ask a request for a song, so I'd like to request something because I only have 20 seconds.
Well, then what is it?
Patsy Cline, did she do Love Letters?
Not that I know of, but I can see if it's an album cut somewhere. Certainly not as a 45.
Okay, if you can find a female singer, and well, if it's Patsy Cline.
Probably Keddy Lester.
Well, I'm hoping it's Patsy Cline, because I wanted to do Crazy with the same time. Okay, so right. I'm going to do this real fast. I'm trying to find my bicentennial Martha Washington costume. Kathy Stone has it from 50 years ago, and I won it for the sequestial. I'll call back and do my trivia next week, okay?
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
All right. So, good deal. There you have it. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I can't think of a Patsy Cline doing Love Letters, but absolutely Keddy Lester. But we'll see where we go with that. I'll certainly look it up. Lisa is in Dundee. Welcome back to WGN Radio. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. How you feeling?
I'm okay.
Excellent.
I'm sorry you're getting bit up by those bugs.
Oh, God, I know. And then,
you know, it's only the females that bite.
Yes, I do know that. And that's true with mosquitoes, too.
Right.
Yeah, no, I know that. I don't know why or what, but we've discovered we think there's something else wrong with this location. And I'm keeping my fingers crossed that it's not what we think. Because in 2002, we moved to a house that turned out to have toxic mold. And it was, you know, on 5 acres in a pricey part of Philadelphia. So it wasn't a bad house, but it had toxic mold. Anyway, I stopped walking. And
yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, right. Well, it started with my left knee having just a weird kind of pain. And for the last few weeks, I've had that, and I've thought, oh, yeah, right, exactly. And now, suddenly, other joints are starting to cramp up, you know, my thumb joints and all that, and I'm like, please, dear God. So the first thing that I'm planning to do, as I speak, my elbow joint is aching, you know, exactly what I felt before, which is what's worrying me. But what I'm planning to do is find a real honkin' air filter that does mold spores and things like that, and do that, even though they're pricey, before I actually commit to, oh, my God, will be moving again, because I just can't.
Oh, no. And, you know, the internet says that they like the moist, you know,
well,
around water and things like that, but it doesn't sound like...
Well, okay, so let me mention this. So when we got back from Globe, I was feeling actually a little better in Globe, which is part of what worries me, too. But in any event, got back here and made an interesting discovery. The water in the bathrooms is terrific, just absolutely hot as can be. The water in the kitchen and laundry room only gets lukewarm. It's the same water heater. Where's the water going?
Oh.
Yeah.
So there might be a leak or
there
something.
God knows.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my story.
And they like the light, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's what, you know, have you tried one of those? I don't know the brand or anything, but I see it advertised on TV. It's like a little bug thing, and you plug it into the... to the socket,
oh, yeah.
And then
yep.
You just change the screen.
Yep. Doesn't seem to make a damn bit of difference.
No, they don't go towards it.
Nah,
huh?
Nah. But, wow. Hey, we'll keep it up. And so far, as long as I remember to swathe myself in the bug stuff, I actually have
right.
been doing okay with that. And if that's the only problem, I'll live with it. But I got to get down to what's going on with the joint pain.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so,
oh boy.
Yeah, that's this week's adventure, looking up air filters. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, so, I'm going to take a couple guesses
on
your straggler.
Good.
Is it voting?
Nope.
Visiting a pawn shop?
Nope.
Unemployment?
Nope.
Or working in a factory?
Nope.
No. Okay.
Those are all wonderful guesses, though. And thank you, thank you, thank you for the trivia for the 5x5s. Couldn't do it without you.
Oh, well, listen, Billy Bob's winning because those are Laura's questions. I'm a little harder on my end, but I'm going to soften it up a little bit.
That's quite all right. Whatever you know, floats your boat will be absolutely fine with me. No complaints here.
We work so well together, but yeah, it's it's so funny, and you've said this before, what people know and what they don't know.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, this one lady, I think, well, I don't know what her name is, but she said she's never heard of Thomas Alva Edison.
Right, right.
But yet she knew Bobby Christina Brown or whatever was Whitney Houston's daughter.
Uh-huh.
So that just... shocked me.
Well, it's a little more, yeah, literally, no pun intended with Thomas Edison,
yeah, yeah.
But it's a little more recent with Bobby Brown. Edison's been gone a while.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. So,
but,
yeah, I know.
Well, anyway.
I know. It's, it is that, that way. I remember when I was having to take Latin first time in high school, and I had never heard the word eloquent, and I remember the teacher said, how can you know non-corporeal and not know, you know, eloquent? I know non-corporeal because of the Rosicrucians and the Self-Realization Fellowship. And so,
oh, boy.
Yeah, right, exactly. He didn't further the conversation after that, but I'll never forget it. I must have been, you know, 14 years old, and eloquent
wow.
had just, no one ever said that. But, boy, I knew non-corporeal
no.
very well.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, so you never
well,
know.
Well, maybe I could have a Seinfeld trivia.
Ooh, all right. Well, let's see here. It's actually one of Laura's questions, so you've probably seen it, so we shouldn't ask that.
Yeah, maybe you better not.
Okay, so we'll ask something else about Seinfeld. Wasn't ready to do this, but I can be ready to do this right away, thanks to a fun trivia. And this claims it's an average quiz. Yeah, well, we'll see. let's see. Whose off-the-cuff remark gave Larry David the inspiration to kill George Costanza's fiancée, Susan?
You mean one of the characters?
Well...
Or one of the actors?
It would have been an actor, a player.
A character.
Yeah.
Whose off-the-cuff remark.
Yeah, and we got to probably talk about George Costanza's fiance.
I'm Susan.
Yes, absolutely right.
Right.
And so and the problem, I'll tell you what it was. The person who played the role was not well liked by the cast. And they didn't like her, and they were having a late night meal at a local diner, and in a joking manner, one of the cast members mentioned maybe they should just kill her off. And so Larry David,
I'm going to take a guess, because it's got to be one of four, right?
Hell if I know.
I'll just say Kramer, Richards, Michael Richards.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Oh.
Yeah, and so Larry David was struck with inspiration to kill Susan in a manner that was more funny than sad. So death...
Great episode.
Would be known as the single coolest moment in the history of television. So the actress was Heidi Swedberg.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to look her up.
I was just watching, the other day I was watching Kindergarten Cop, and she's in it. And I thought, boy, she looks familiar to me. I wonder who that is.
And now you know.
I couldn't quite place her because it was a while ago.
I wonder why they didn't like her.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, she did burn down the, somebody's cabin, and, she...
Okay, I just looked
it up. In the show, anyway.
Yeah, no, they didn't dislike her as a person. They struggled significantly to work with her due to misaligned comedic timing and acting styles.
Oh.
Because the main cast rhythm was so fast-paced, they found it incredibly difficult to play off her. She was more understated and deadpan.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know. I thought she worked real well on that show. They can't all be
like
the four characters, you
right,
know?
Right. And so, but I guess they felt it was a lack of chemistry.
Huh.
And Jason Alexander was interviewed, and he thought the whole thing was very unfair to her.
Yeah.
So, who knows? But there you go. Now you know.
All right.
Okay, good. Okay,
well, you have a good week. Make sure you wear something with long sleeves.
Oh, I am. I'm wearing my Prodigy sweatshirt. That ages me. All right, thanks. Appreciate it. Yes, absolutely. Remember that came out? Right. Sears paid for it. And they canceled the catalog? Yeah, I know. I'll digress. Go on with that a lot. We'll pick it up right after this on WGN Radio.
Your sweet expression, the smile you gave me, the way you look when we met. It's easy to remember, but so hard to forget. I hear you whisper,
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, one of my favorite songs, and John heard me playing it the other day, and, he said, who did that originally? So I said, it's the 30s, for God's sakes, like Bing Crosby or something. So I looked it up, and it was Rodgers and Hart. And so, meanwhile, John makes the mistake of going to Google, Don't ever listen to their AI, especially not when it has anything to do with, with doo-wop or obscure R&B oldies, Clueless. So anyway, he looks it up and he said, oh, the Flamingos did it. And I said, they did? Now, I was fascinated by this. I, at the time, didn't know that he was looking at Google AI. I thought this was a more legitimate source because he comes in, oh, yes, with authority that the Flamingos did it. So I start to look this up. I probably invested 2 hours that I'll never get back of my life trying to find it and couldn't, absolutely could not. And then I said, now, who exactly told you? He said, oh, no, I got it from Google AI. So if the Flamingos ever did it, I don't know. And it's interesting, you can go to, of course, Secondhand Songs, but they won't tell you about this group either. But if you know, you know, and they were, I thought they were a great little group. It was 1960, and it was on Co-Ed. So it was a flip side. It was not an A side. And the group was from Englewood, New Jersey. And so who are they? 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. All right, so we'll move on over to Barry in New Hampshire. Welcome back to WGN Radio. How are you, Barry?
Hey, Raleigh.
All right, so we're talking Beatles, are we?
We're back to them, yep.
All right. Now,
would the holdup would be that they sell more American cars, GM cars?
They may, but that's not it.
Okay.
I would assume. I hope they do. God knows. All right. So, as you probably know, in 1969, the Beatles planned to make a live-action film adaptation of Lord of the Rings. And so they approached Stanley Kubrick, the director, who absolutely said no. So then they went to the author, J.R.R. Tolkien, who unambiguously said no. But he had a different reason. Stanley Kubrick didn't want to do it because he said those books are unfilmable. Well, it turns out not to be right. But why did Tolkien say absolutely not?
Well, I don't know.
He was a traditionalist who disliked pop music, and he was very annoyed by the Beatles, who practiced in a garage near his home from time to time, and other rock bands as well. And I'm not dealing with these people. And that was it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Now you do. All right, thanks. Appreciate it. So,
nice talk to you.
There you have it. And we have 2 more hours of Monday Night Trivia. We're going to get to Cindy, who's got some guesses, and Shane wants MASH TV. He's driving. I don't know where we're going, but I'm guessing maybe Milwaukee or somewhere Wisconsin. We'll find out. Alex in Round Lake wants American Lit, and Andy in L.A., more New York radio in the 60s. All that coming up next hour on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, I loved it anyway. It was on V-Tone in 1960, so there's obviously a Philadelphia connection. But who are they? And there's no reason for you to know unless you know, like Stan, I know, knows. But maybe you do, too. So 888-876-5593. But this is one of the moments when we have absolutely no lines available. So wait for somebody to hang up, and then you will immediately get in there if you dial fast enough. Let's see. Cindy in Chicago is going to take some guesses. So I guess it's only appropriate that I give you the question again. This will be revealed at the end of the show next hour. Looking at the 50 biggest U.S. cities by population, people in Detroit are most likely to do this. People in Miami are least likely to do it. Do what? All right, that's my question. If you don't know my bumper's numbers, you have no idea about my question, you can have your own category. Sky's the limit on that, as we will prove. We've got Shane, who's driving along, wants his MASH trivia. We've got Alex in Round Lake, who wants his American literature. We've got Andy in Los Angeles. Yeah, radio in the 1960s in New York. I'm ready for that. And Bob in Willowbrook's got some guesses for me. And Don in Beloit wants his World War II planes. I'm running out of them. All right, so Cindy in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Okay, and then I wanted Miss Fisher trivia, too, but my guess is that it's ice skating or winter sport.
Nope.
Really? I thought I was in league with the devil.
Well, I don't know about the devil, but you're wrong. He could be wrong, too, if he would agree with you, but I don't know. That's the deal. Let's see. You want Miss Fisher trivia. All right. So I want to know is what was her signature weapon?
A gun and the knife in her.
No. We want to know about the gun. What was it?
Oh, what kind of gun?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know anything about gun.
And it was interesting because the actual model wasn't introduced until 1950. But nonetheless, it was a Smith & Wesson Chief Special.
Oh, okay. I'm
all right. Well, there's always next week.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. So, 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And Andy is in Los Angeles. How's it going, Andy?
All right, how are you?
All right, so we're going to stick with New York radio. We won't run out of stuff there, okay. I am sure. So, speaking of which, okay. Of course, we're going to talk about Morning Drive in the 60s, and we all know that Joe O'Brien was on WMCA, and HOA right. was on WABC, and gambling was on right. WOR. Who was on right. WNEW-FM? AM, I'm sorry, AM, WNEW-AM, which was the other 1130 AM, big gun in town.
WNEW... I think it was Gene Clayton.
And?
Either Finch or Ray Bieber.
Yeah, absolutely. Clayton and Finch, yeah, until... absolutely. And did you ever listen?
You know what? When my mother was home, I listened. My mother was there, I listened.
You know, I was a sucker for these MOR morning men, and I just thought they were hilarious.
Good morning! With Klavan and Finch, only on WNEW in New York.
Oh, hello there. I'm Dee Finch. You know Klavan and Finch. WNEW every morning from 6 to 10. Saturdays we start at 8. Oh, here comes my partner now. Hey, son of a gun, he got a little dog with him. Hi, Gene. Hey, that's a beautiful little dog, huh?
Yeah, I got it for my wife.
Great! How'd you ever make a trade like that?
Yeah, I love it. So there you have it. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. NBC, I'm trying to think who was on NBC in the morning, WNBC. Was it Bill Cullen?
Well, it depends on the years.
And Bob Smith was on, too, for
yeah, it depends on the years there, because it wasn't anybody throughout the year. So I'm trying to think of who would be first on that. You know, they also went through a number of format shifts as well.
Yeah.
So Gene Rayburn and Bill Mazur. Yeah. And Ted Brown.
Right.
And
Brad Crandall? Did you ever hear Brad Crandall?
No, the one that surprised me in 1966, Joe Pine.
Yeah.
So, you know, but that, I didn't want to use them because it was like format du jour.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah. And they could never get it together. I don't know why. They had the whole network behind them.
Yeah.
I mean,
Some stations are just cursed. CAU in Philly was
kind of... But that's a good signal, right? Isn't that a good signal?
Yeah, absolute Clear Channel. They in the breakup of the Clears in the 80s, they allowed a station in Window Rock, Arizona, owned by the Navajos. But before that, that 660 was absolutely a 1A Clear. It still is, technically.
Yeah.
So, it was a beautiful signal. But just like, PHT in Philadelphia, 50,000 watts, 1210, they never, ever really could get much of a stranglehold on that market. So, it happens.
Really?
But when I was thinking about it, I thought about NBC. I thought, no, there's too many damn choices. Let's go with something that's a little easier here. So, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I remember, we had a thing of changing radio stations. Whoever was in the kitchen, we changed it to the other one.
Oh, of course. So, of course, yes.
She put an EW and I put on MCA or WABC.
Yeah, of course, because you wanted the music. And that was lost to so many teens because those MOR guys were just hilarious, but, no one wanted to sit through the music. So I get that.
Yeah.
All right.
Some of them were good. Ted Brown was very good, too.
Oh, of course. Of course. Yeah, no, I mean, most...
They had some good people.
Most of these guys, Ted Brown was there in the 50s and the 60s, and he was wonderful. Mm-hmm. He also did early afternoons for a while. So not just mornings. And
he moved around when he came back. He did He usually did the mornings.
Right. Exactly. Originally in the 50s. Right. Yeah. And then remember when Bill Mazur came in, it was a sports talk show in Morning Drive. That was. I know. They tried. Oh, they tried.
Did you know that? This is a little trivia for you. Do you know that? You probably do. That Ted Brown substituted for a very famous TV star when he got sick.
Oh, really? No, who? For who?
Buffalo Bob Smith.
Makes sense.
He was his brother when he got a heart attack or something. So he came in, it was Bison Bill, I think, or something
like that. Yeah, it was Bison Bill, yeah. No, I had, he had a heart attack. That was like the 50s.
Yeah.
But I think at the time Ted Brown was at NEW. And that's why that was interesting, because, of course, the Buffalo Bob show, that was NBC. So he went on a secret mission for the U.S. government, is what they...
Oh, you're... yeah, right. I got one other piece for you. Howdy Doody. Do you used to watch it?
No.
When it was new?
No, I didn't watch any of the kids'
shows. Oh, you didn't watch TV, that's right. But he had an old face. Originally, the puppeteer made a completely different face.
Uh-huh.
And it was a horrendous face. It was really scary. So they had to send him in for a face job. This was cut in the early 50s.
Oh, that's
funny. And they gave him a new head.
That's funny.
I have an old picture that. Maybe I'll send it to you. It's really weird looking.
I think I have seen it, and I think that it was Buffalo Bob that caused the change because he called it grotesque.
And
I don't know. The puppeteer was Frank Paris. I don't know how Frank Paris related to that. I know that his job was to destroy it, but I think that he walked off the show, but I don't think it was over the face.
Yeah, I
think it was the royalties.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
So, that was interesting.
And it's one of those weird things. And until one of my moves, I had a couple original Howie Doody marionettes in closets. And I moved it so many times, so I'm throwing these out. And now I'm like, damn.
That always happens, right?
Yeah, always, absolutely. Now I know, but I've kind of run out of things. So,
There's always these horror stories. I'm going to maybe give away all my comic books.
Oh, no.
I had about 100 Superman comic books when I was in the 50s.
Golden Age? Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah, I had all of them.
Some of that could have bought you a house. Oh,
I know.
Oh, my God. Oh, dear. Horrible thing was kids would go off to college and their parents would take their comics and their 45s to the swap meets. Which, of course, was great for me. That's how I got all the Yellow Atlantics. Yeah. But
My son goes to swap meets now to get the Game Boy stuff.
Yeah, right, exactly.
His parents are getting rid of it. He does that now.
Right. But, man, come September, they're going off to college. Man,
know.
It's a treasure trove.
I know.
Condolences on your comics.
It costs me a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad to talk to you. I'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it. Yes.
Have a good one.
You too. Same thing happened to John, and he collects comics. I don't know, he's got well over 20,000. But he went off to school, and his mother gave away his comics. Just no. You know, there's a certain hell for that. And, yeah, I don't know what it's like on those afterlife reunions, but I'd have a thing or two to say. All right, so, yeah. We'll get to Alex in Round Lake and his American literature question and Shane and his MASH question. Keep driving, Shane. Bob is going to take some guesses. So we'll get Bob's guesses coming up next. And then Don and Beloit, I don't know, World War II planes, got to find some, coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So who is that? Yeah, it's a female in a group. And Billy Butler was actually in that group. I think that record would have done better, but it was on Columbia. And they were not known for promoting R&B in 1964, or really any other time. But still, it was a fine record. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Alex in Round Lake. How's it going, Alex?
Hi, how are you doing?
I can't complain. You're ready for your literature question?
I am.
All right. In 1958, in Monterey, California, the town officially changed the name of a street from Ocean View Avenue to honor the author and the 1945 novel set there. What's the street name? It's the same as the novel.
Cannery Row.
Absolutely right. And it's never been the same. It's done a lot for tourism and not too much for the cannery industry. However, that's gone, and they've got a nice museum. So, yes, you're absolutely right. John Steinbeck, Cannery Row.
Mm.
All right.
Well, thank you, Raleigh.
All right, hang on. Don't go away. All right, so, yes, absolutely, Cannery Row. That's exactly it. And it's a real tourist haven now. And it was, sardine canning. Bob and Willowbrook's got some guesses for me. So, Bob, what do you think?
Good evening, Raleigh. You know, if I had worked as hard when I was at school as I do on your stragglers, I would have graduated with a 4.0.
Yeah, in absolutely useless information, just like this.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. The people in Detroit, what do they do the most? Go to church.
Nope.
Buy life insurance.
Nope.
Own a second car.
Nope.
Own a new car.
Nope.
Hmm. Order pizza for delivery.
Nope.
Own a garage.
Nope.
Okay. That's it.
Nice choices.
See you in 2 weeks.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so I will reveal this in the next hour, actually, because this is a straggler from last week, so it doesn't go beyond this show. You will know, and it's interesting. Now, I think the only clue I can give you on this question is when I say looking at the 50 big U.S. cities by population. Excuse me. I know I could have hit the cough button, but after all. All right. So the deal, that would have caused me to move some muscles, which I'm not inclined to do right now. So here is the deal. Maybe if we decided to organize the cities by something other than population, the top 50 might Number one might ace out Detroit. I don't know. But based on population, Detroit is number one and Miami is number last. So what is it? 888-876-5593. Shane is driving, and right after the news, we're going to find out where he is, coming up on WGN Radio.
You're a cool, crazy kitten, and I love you, Booby Abby, trim, neat and pretty. I don't mean maybe, Booby Abby, mad about you all the time.
Booby Abby, Booby Abby, Booby Abby.
You're a real gone cookie, and I love you, Booby Abby, dancing up the storm. Till your feet get warm, Booby Abby is a hobby with you.
Booby Abby, Booby Abby, Booby Abby.
When I take you by the hand, something wonderful takes command. Booby, I do understand.
Booby, Abby, Booby, Abby, love is great.
So come on, you ding-dong, darling, Booby, Abby doesn't mean a thing. Till you learn that swing, Booby, Abby, baby, I love you.
When I take you by the hand, something wonderful takes command. Booby, I do understand.
Booby, Abby, Booby, Abby, love is great.
So come on, you ding-dong, darling, Booby, Abby, love me.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, I haven't played it in a couple of years, but I know I've played it a lot, so you should know. Yeah, on Federal, right. Didn't sound at all like their hits later, but man, I thought it was one of their best periods, that and what they did in the mid-60s. So, 888-876-5593. Shane is driving. All right, Shane, where are we going?
How you doing tonight, Raleigh?
All right, how about
I'm good. I'm actually sitting in the Milwaukee terminal. I'll be heading out to Tomah, Wisconsin.
Okay. All right. Well, how's the evening weather?
So far, it's been dry. It was off and on rain in Illinois, but once I get into Wisconsin, it's dry.
Good. Good. So that should be smooth sailing. I'm sure I'll enjoy the ride. Thank you for taking me. All right.
Oh, you're welcome.
Now, we want MASH, of course.
Yeah.
What was Hawkeye's tent called?
Good Lord, I know. The swamp.
Yes, absolutely right. The swamp. You're 100% right.
I didn't think about it.
Very good. Excellent. All right, hang on and happy driving. Don't go away. All right, so that's wonderful. Yeah, the swamp. Indeed it was. So let's make sure we don't lose them. We haven't. Fran in Austin, bet she knew who that was. All right, Fran.
I hear that part
of it. Oh, yeah, that was the Platters.
Yes, it was on Federal.
Yeah, I remember that because I was surprised a couple of years ago when you played that and said it was the Platters, because I always think of all the stuff I don't like. All that.
Yeah, well, that was 1954. And
oh, wow.
Of course, you know, their manager, Buck Ram, wasn't getting arrested with that stuff. You know, Sid Nathan was putting it out of Cincinnati, and it was going nowhere. So that's where he got the idea for the pop standards. And I'm with you. You know, I do not want to hear Only You and, you know, My Prayer and all those. But those were the big sellers. Now, as far as I'm concerned, they vindicated themselves again in the mid-60s on MusiCore when they did things like I Love You 1,000 Times and With This Ring and all that. I thought that was good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Especially With This Ring. Love that song.
Right. So they came back from ruin. But, of course, Buck laughed all the way to the bank. And, of course, we've told the story many times about how Mercury did not want to sign him, wouldn't sign him, but they couldn't get the Penguins any other way. And, of course, the Penguins never had another hit. So Worked out.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah, worked out fine for Buck.
What I can't figure out is when they sing Only You, it's can to make. Like, okay, only you can to make. And I'm like, okay, where are they getting that?
Oh, I know. Well, there's a lot of that stuff. On Gene Chandler, Bless Our Love, and Forgive Our Temptation. For the longest time, I wanted to understand temptation. You know?
I know. I've heard, Agent Double O Soul, he says, I've got a reputation.
Yeah, right. Reputation.
I can sort of understand
that. Absolutely. Yeah. And at least they didn't make up words entirely. You know,
yeah,
yeah, like the medallion. You know, Vernon Green should rot in hell for sweet words of pismatology. What the hell does that mean?
I do not know.
And the puppetudes of love. I heard him actually explain that once.
I've always wondered what that is.
Well,
yes.
He said it was like a puppet on a string, that they're being controlled. The puppetudes of love. I said, well, at least it has an explanation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I like to make up words every now and then, so what the hell?
Well, yes, confused people for decades, so what can I tell you?
Of course, people don't understand the words I use a lot of times anyway, so... You know, it's like, I can't believe it. I'll say something. What?
Yeah, exactly. So yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, hang on. We'll confirm that address. Don't go away. All right. So, absolutely. Vuvi Avi. Yeah. And that's Zola Taylor doing the female voices. And a good job of it, too. All right. Karen in Chicago recognized a bumper. So, all right, Karen, what did you know?
No, I was wrong.
What did you think?
I thought it. Yeah, the last bumper, I was wrong.
Oh.
But that's okay. I'd like to take a crack at the trivia question.
Oh, good. All right. So, looking at the 50 biggest cities by population, people in Detroit are most likely to do this. People in Miami are least likely to do it. Do what?
Attend concerts?
Nope.
I was thinking of Detroit being a musical city.
Uh-huh.
Work overtime.
Nope.
Go to movies.
Nope.
I don't know. Thank you for letting me try.
Absolutely. Well, you'll know at the end of next hour. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
I appreciate it. And even sooner if we get a winner, which could happen. Yeah, indeed. I don't see why not. All right. So we're going to do some 1972 lyrics with Dave and the North Side. And Don and Beloit will search for those World War II planes right about now on WGN Radio.
My heart's desire, you.
WGN Radio. Enjoying that just a little too much, I think. 1959 on Dootoo. The group is from Tacoma, Washington. And maybe you know this. And it's not because you, not because you're thinking they were someone else. This is all they did, just about. And the only thing I can find. And it was a flip side, too. So who are they? All right. Now, we're going to go to Dave. Oh, first I should give you my question again, because at the end of next hour, I give it away since it's our straggler from last week. Looking at the 50 biggest U.S. cities by population, people in Detroit are most likely to do this. People in Miami are least likely to do this. Do what? Okay, then. Now, let's see where we are. 1972 lyrics with Dave on the North Side. How's it going, Dave?
Hey, how you doing?
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
Back once again, ooh, just begging you please, darling, think twice about me, because I'm not so bad, I could make you happy, I'm not a mad lad.
Can you repeat that?
Back once again, ooh, just begging you please, darling, think twice about me, because I'm not so bad, I could make you happy, I'm not a mad lad. Give you some more lyrics from it. The damage is done. You'll see you were wrong. You'll wake up wondering just how well I've done, because I've done all right. Yeah, there are some lads, but you know that I'd drop them on sight just for you, because I love you and I want you.
I'm not recognizing it.
Okay. Yes. Well, you're still a young man by Tower of Power. You're still a young man, baby. Don't waste your time. You're still a young man. Down on my knees, heart in hand. I was accused of being too young. You don't remember, huh? Well, it was a big hit. All right. We'll talk to you later.
I was going to say, unless you can play me like 30 seconds, I don't think I've ever heard that song.
Oh, I think you have. And I think it's worth it to do that because we need to vindicate this because it was a big hit. It was actually the second one I chose. Probably should have stuck with the first one. Young man. Okay. All right. Many copies. Here we go. Yes. Tower of Power. Doesn't sound familiar.
Would you consider that like a doo-wop genre?
No, it was a top 40 hit.
Really? So you consider that rock and roll?
No, I don't consider anything. I consider it a hit on the Hot 100 charts.
Okay. Maybe that's why. Does it matter when I call in for 72 if I say rock and roll to John?
No, it's going to be charts. These are what we're playing is charts. And so what we're looking for is something that at least hit number 40 on the national charts, either Billboard or Cashbox. We don't care what the genre is. The Hot 100 charts are every genre, but they're mostly the stuff that was played on Top 40 radio.
Okay, yeah. And the last couple, this one, the last one I noticed was more obscured, and the first couple were more like.
Well, you see, when you say that, if I'm playing a record that's in the top 30 on the Billboard Hot 100, it's not too obscure.
I have to expect for like Rock 72, something like The Who, or
well, that's probably never what you're going to get.
Before we were kids, it was like Eric Clapton for 78.
If there was a big Eric Clapton hit, if there was your basic lay down Sally, and that was the year you picked, you probably get it. But
I'll just use that for example.
I don't go by the song or the artist. I go by the chart number. How high did it get? It's all I care about. Because you're playing charts. Okay.
I liked how you played Hard Time by Marcellus for one of your other listeners last week.
Okay.
And I just wish you had let me listen to more of the solo with the horns on.
You can go to YouTube and listen to it to your heart's content over and over.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. That's why I said I know.
Well, and you know you can. So that's what you do.
Can I request Ray Charles?
Okay, what you want?
Do you have one called Bad Money or Big Money?
I'll look. Okay. All right. I'll see what I can find.
I appreciate you playing my songs last week, The Swing Shift, and that.
Oh, yeah. You betcha.
And the Rolling Stones. Do you got any idea, is that a horn in the beginning there?
On Mother's Little Helper? I don't know. Yeah. But that was a big hit. I love the way you phrase the title, but it's Mother's Little Helper. So now you've heard it. All right.
I know. I was like, she's taking a dig at me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it was too priceless. I couldn't let it go. All right.
Yeah, I figured that.
So we'll look for your Ray Charles. We'll see what I can find.
I was just asking because I wonder in the beginning if that's a horn or bagpipes or something. That part is like, da 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 da. Yeah, it's like a loud, some kind of horn or bagpipe or something. I just wonder what instrument it is.
I'm the wrong person to ask, but now that you said that, I want to hear it. Maybe somebody will.
What a drag it is getting.
I believe that's just a good old, what's his name? Mick Jagger. It is not bagpipes.
You like a clarinet or something?
You'd have to ask somebody who knows and cares. And maybe somebody will tell us.
I thought maybe.
Nah, no interest. Okay, thanks. All right, so good deal. 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And let's see what we have. We're going to do some Seinfeld trivia with Jeff and Homewood. Oh, Kimberly and Dalton's going to take some guesses. So, Kimberly, how are you tonight?
Oh, pretty good, really. How are you?
All right, so you survived the 70th birthday. How'd you spend the day?
Actually, it was kind of quiet but nice, and then my mom gave me a gift and a couple things, and then my son came with a beautiful cake the next day because he worked, so he came Saturday with a beautiful cake and some flowers to plant in the yard. So
isn't that nice? All right, good deal.
Yeah. I have one guess and then one request for this week.
Okay.
Could it possibly be work in the manufacturing industry?
No.
No, okay. All right. That's my guess.
All right, now let's get to this.
My mom wanted to know if, in honor of my granddaughter Thea, sometime this week you could play "I Say a Little Prayer for You," not necessarily by Dionne Warwick, but anyway, if you have it by someone,
sure,
if you could play that for my granddaughter Thea.
Absolutely, we'll do it. Okay, I promise.
All right.
Okay,
thanks.
Thank
you, Raleigh.
Okay,
have
bye.
A good week.
You too.
Bye-bye.
All right. So 888-876-5593. And look at this. We got a first-time caller. I hope she waited. Pam is in Ohio. Welcome to WGN Radio, Pam.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
I think it is purchase an American-made vehicle.
I like that. It's not right, but I like it.
Aww.
And it's probably true, by the way. I don't know about Miami being least likely, but Detroit probably is most likely. In fact, I'd be surprised if it wasn't.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No.
Okay, so where in Ohio are you?
Marietta.
All right. Okay, good. Well, I hope you're going to call me again.
We will.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay.
All right.
Bye.
So Pam and Marietta checks in. Good deal. 888-876. Let me say goodbye because now there is a line available. They were all busy until then, but now there is a line available should you want it. Cindy called back with more guesses. I just can't wait to hear them. All right, Cindy.
Okay, but they drive an American car or a car made in Detroit?
No. No.
I didn't think that someone has guessed that yet.
Yes,
right.
Yes. Our last caller just guessed it. Yes. And people had before that, too. Like, what else you got?
I was dying.
What else you got?
I can't go to the beach?
No.
No. I don't know. Chuck's family was from Michigan, and their farm was right across the street from Lake Michigan in like Berrien County.
All right. Well, you think about it. You call me back. We got another hour to go, so don't go anywhere. Right now, we'll go to the news on WGN Radio.
You can't tell no lies. You've got to be satisfied. You've got to say that you feel the way. I'll always feel sincere whenever my love is here. She's the girl that I love and always thinking of.
WGN Radio. So who are they? All right. Don't know if I can tell you anything about them. And I've been too busy looking up all the rest of your trivia questions, but maybe you'll know. All right. So let's see where we are, because this is the final hour. Well, for tonight's show anyway. There'll be one tomorrow. I think we're delayed by the Stanley Cup playoffs again, but I'll look at that. But in the meantime, looking at the 50 biggest by population United States cities, people in Detroit are most likely to do this. People in Miami are least likely to do it. Do what? And again, the only clue I can give you is if the cities were not ranked by population, if they picked a 50 biggest on some other metric, I doubt Detroit would still be number one. But Miami still might be last. I don't know. All right, so what would that be? We're going to do Charts with Mike in Elmwood Park, 1970. Stacy in Algonquin, Sex in the City. All right. Gary in Austin, going to some radio trivia. Don in Beloit, ah, yes, World War II Blaines. And he's going to take some guesses as well. And we have Jeff in Homewood for his Seinfeld trivia. But we last left Cindy, right before the news, who was going to give us some guesses. And what did you decide, Cindy? She decided to hang up. All right, well, that happens. All right, yeah, who can blame her? Now, let's see, speaking of those guesses, I believe that Don and Beloit had some. All right, Don, go for it.
Yeah, Detroit people are more charitable or giving, volunteer their time.
That is so close. So flesh that out.
Well, it's a foundation's more charitable foundation.
No, you can do this.
Charities.
You can do this.
Wow. Well,
you mentioned time, and it's not time.
Volunteer hours are things of time. It's not the most number of volunteers?
No. Come on, think about this. I know you can do this. Other people are screaming at their radios. If it's not time, it's...
I'm bummed because I always give you the best ones are like fifth and sixth. That was my number one. It was supposed to be my least weighted answer.
Well,
that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
And, all right, I'm figuring this out.
I'm handing it to you on a platter.
Mm-hmm. And Miami, on the other hand, is the least likely.
Yes, Detroit's the most, and Miami's the least.
Volunteer hours.
No, you're off track on that. You were closer the way you stated it at first.
The most number of charities?
No.
This is really interesting.
Yeah, well, if it's not time, then what would it be?
Oh, they give away the most money. They give away the most.
Bingo! We have a winner. God, that was pulling teeth. People.
Sorry about that. I was going to go pit bull on you, and
people in Detroit. Smokers. Yeah, people in Detroit are most likely to give money to charity, and people in Miami are least likely to do it. Now, what's interesting, this is why I had the clue. I said the 50 biggest cities, if we were ranking them by a metric other than population, Detroit wouldn't be number one. Now, why is that? Because Salt Lake City would be number one. All right. So, because they have to give 10% of their gross. And so the Deseret Morning News reported it for Detroit, and the Chronicle of Philanthropy reported it for Miami.
Oh, wow.
All right. But, so you've done it.
By the way, they do have the most pit bulls than any other city.
Well, that may very, very well. But so you're a winner.
See. I like the sound of that.
All right.
Also, I think they have the fewest DUIs. Detroit, for some reason, has the fewest rates or lowest DUI rates or something.
Okay. I'm sure they got a lot of low points.
All right. Well, you had given me credit for playing that Bill Brunsy song last week.
Brunsy. So it wasn't you? No.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
No, it was me. I asked for that 3 months ago.
Yeah,
but
I'm
that
sure
other person.
Right. Right. Well, you know, I don't get to them necessarily quickly.
Yeah, I saw the Chicago Blues Festival over the weekend. It was really fun. Really, really fun.
Yeah,
that was a good choice, and I think me and that other caller both called in the same song, just at different times. That's all.
Big Bill Brunsy. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You also affiliated me with another song that does definitely not me from that. I don't know, kind of crazy '60s British folk lady.
Right. The 17 Sugar Elephants. Yeah, right, right, right. I don't know who that
51
was.
51 Colors or something.
No, that was 17 Sugar Elephants. Pink Sugar Elephants.
That was not Don from Beloit.
Well, I don't know who it was, but it was something about as bad as you usually request. I guess that's why I thought so.
Ouch.
Yeah. Yeah. Well earned.
Well, listen, Raleigh, you have a good one. I appreciate you having your great stragglers. They're just always fun. They really make me think.
Well, hang on. Don't go away. We'll confirm that address. And, of course, don't sit by the mailbox. We know that. You're doing it for the fun of it. Eventually, you get something. I don't know when eventually happens. I gave up as far as that goes. We will be doing some Seinfeld trivia with Jeff and Homewood. We're going to do Charts, 1970, Mike in Elmwood Park, Sex in the City with Stacey and Algonquin, a radio trivia with Gary in Austin. And there is a line available for you right now if you've been wanting it, 888-876-5593. And there's another bumper stumper coming up right after this on WGN Radio.
You found it.
Up Another Fool, 1965 on Valiant. A little unusual. They're an L.A. group, obviously. They're on Valiant. And they'd also been the Passions, not the same ones you know from New York, and the Colognes. You don't know them either. But anyhow, as this group, they share their name with a famous Detroit group. Well, reasonably famous Detroit group. Anyway, who are they? 888-876-5593. 8888-Raleigh. Jeff and Homewood, welcome back to WGN Radio.
How you doing?
All right. What's happening tonight?
Not much. You know, that previous Seinfeld question, I heard that one before. Not on your show, but I heard that story before.
Okay.
And I always wondered how difficult it must have been for Heidi Swedberg to be the one written out of the show and be professional and finish the show.
Oh, you know, I think that that can happen. And, you know, if you're going to be an actor, you can expect that will happen for various reasons. And you're paid to do a part, and you do it the best of your ability.
Yeah. I think for the comedy, the George character was stuck in a rabbit hole with that engagement.
Yeah.
Well, I want to rescue him for the comedy's sake.
I can't speak to it because I've never seen this show.
Oh, okay.
So, all right. So, in any event, Jerry Seinfeld uses several aliases throughout the series, but his most famous decoy is as an executive of Vandalay Industries. Who does he claim he is?
Art Vandalay?
No, Kel Varnson.
Okay. I didn't know that one.
All right. And yes, he also was Dylan Murphy and Jerry the Great and all that. But Kel Varnson, V-A-R-N-S-E-N, at Vandalay Industries. All right. There you go.
See you again next week.
I hope so. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So 888-876-5593 takes us on Monday Night Trivia. I guess I have to give you another question before we get here to Mike in Elmwood Park. We're going to do charts 1970. All righty, here you go. When discussing family life growing up, 84% of adults said their parents did this unconscionable thing. All right, 84% of the adults said their parents did this unconscionable thing. What unconscionable thing? 888-876-5593. All right, now while you're canoodling on that, we'll talk to Mike in Elmwood Park. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Thanks, Raleigh.
Yes. How are you, Mike?
Okay.
Now we're going to do This Week in 1970.
Yep.
All right. Why not? Might as well. Let me get it out here. I know it's here somewhere. And here we are. All right. Yeah. So here we go. Number one. You ready?
Okay. Yep.
Everything is Beautiful.
Ray Stevens.
Absolutely. Which Way You Going, Billy?
The Poppy Family.
Yep, afraid so. Love on a Two-Way Street.
Moments?
Yes. Number four, Run Through the Jungle.
Run Through the Jungle.
The others, yes, I was going to say The Other Side was Up Around the Bend. Number five, Cecilia.
Simon and Garfunkel.
Yep. Number six, Get Ready.
Rare Earth.
Yes. Number seven, The Letter. Obviously, it's not the Box Tops from 1965. It's the abysmal remake.
The Letter. That one I don't know.
Joe Cocker.
You don't
want to hear it. Number eight, American Woman.
Oh, Guess Who?
Yeah. Number nine, Make Me Smile.
Chicago.
And number 10, The Long and Winding Road.
Beatles.
And you're a winner. Hang on, don't go away. There you go. Excellent. The only one he didn't know was Joe Cocker, and that's really to his credit. Though there's a few there, I don't know if I'd be willing to publicly say I knew it was the Poppy family, but be that as it may. All right, now let's see, what am I doing here? I believe that Stacy wants a Sex and the City question. So, Stacy, are you there? Stacy?
Wally?
Yes, there you are.
Hi.
All right, so now, hope you heard your groovy people last week. Yes, I played your, you wanted a another Lou Rawls request, and I played it.
Oh, gosh, I always miss it.
Ah, oh, geez, and you're tormenting me to play them, and you don't even hear them. Oh, well.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Well, we'll see what we can do this week. All right, so we're talking Sex and the City. What is Mr. Big's full name?
I know. Let's see, Mr. Big. Oh, shoot. Wait a minute, Mr. Big.
His initials would be JJP.
John James.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep going.
John James. Oh, my God. Parker?
Preston.
Oh, Preston.
Yeah.
That's okay, Raleigh.
Well, we'll do it next week.
At least
week.
I got the two yeah, first.
Right. John James. Yes, yes. Well, that's pretty good. Why not? All right.
So, could I ask for any more songs?
Yeah, sure. You won't hear them, but I'll know. Okay. Yeah, what do you want to hear?
How about a song by the Delphonics?
Yep, I've got that down. I played one, but I'll play another one. I also have James Brown.
Another Lou Rawls.
Oh, God, help us. Uh-huh.
How about... Tina Turner.
Tina Turner. All right. You got it.
Okay. All thank right. you, Raleigh.
Good deal. Thanks for calling. All right. So, 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And so we have Gary. We're going to do radio trivia. So, let's see here. I'm trying to confirm the answer because, after all, I don't want to do this off the top of my head. So, how are you, Gary?
Oh, hanging in. See, I could pick a Lou Rawls song. For Stacey, which would be Dead End Street.
Oh, I know. I love that. I've played that before.
That's my favorite Lou Rawls song, actually. Mm-hmm. So, the Bounce, Mother's Little Helper, that's a guitar.
Okay.
At the beginning of that. I don't know how he got it with a clarinet. Exactly.
I'm like, okay, fine. Yeah.
It sounds kind of like a guitar to me.
Right.
All
right. So that's looking for the perfect trivia question for you, and failing miserably right now. This is terrible. All right. So let's see. Okay. So when Chuck Bloor went to KFWB, he referred to the format as what? By the way, he also used it on KEWB in Oakland and KDWB in Minneapolis.
I think they call themselves color radio.
Yeah, absolutely right. You're 100% right. And actually, you know, color radio and was KEWB in the Bay Area is sort of what gave Bill Drake the idea to tighten it and come up with a name, hence Boss Radio.
Hey.
But yeah, that's it. So, all right. Good deal. Hang on. Don't go away. You are a winner.
Great.
All right.
Thanks.
So,
appreciate it.
So there we have it. Yes, color radio. So why not? because when you think about it, in the mid-50s, that was television was still black and white for virtually everybody. System hadn't been standardized, and some of the choices were truly hilarious. We got another half hour of this, and yes, I believe you. I gave you a trivia question. Maybe you want to think about it, and we'll reconvene after the news on WGN Radio.
When you're close to me, I'm in ecstasy. Since our meeting day, I have felt this way. It's the fool in me. I'm a dreamer from my heart. I have found the love sent from up above. Any time of day, you can hear me say, my love is true. I'm a dreamer from my heart. Oh, deep in my heart, a love that's greater than gold.
WGN Radio. All right, so who is that? 888-876-5593, 8888, Raleigh. And yeah, always kind of like that. So yeah, I don't have any hints, sorry. We have a first-time caller, though. Oh, wow. All right, I love this. It's Richard in Aurora, who wants country music lyrics from the 90s. So I'm going to ask you if you can hold on a few minutes, because I got to find something, all right?
No problem.
Don't go away. So we're going to do charts with Ralph, and as soon as I'm done with Ralph, we'll be back to you. All right, hang on.
All right.
All right, so a good deal. Want to make sure it's the 90s. I can actually do this. So, all right, we put Richard on hold in Aurora, and we say hi to Ralph in Rockford. How's it going, Ralph?
Good morning. Thank you very much. So far, so good.
Good.
Yeah, I finally got a decent phone here. At least now I can understand on the phone what you're saying.
That's good to hear. That helps.
Yeah, I hope you can hear me as well, too.
Yeah, you're fine. Absolutely fine.
Well, thank you. Well, so, first of all, I wanted to say happy birthday to the Tiger of Wales. He turned 86 on Sunday.
Really?
Yeah, and so Tom Jones, maybe you can play one of his songs, if not tonight, of course, but during the week, if you don't mind.
All right, let me get the request out here. Okay.
Well, it's a request, but I mean, whatever you would choose, but I wouldn't mind Green, Green Grass of Home.
That's, I was thinking more of It's Not Unusual.
Okay, yeah, that was his breakthrough.
Absolute best record, and of course, it's under 2 minutes long, so it was perfect when you needed to time something.
Yeah, okay, then you just play on It's Not Unusual.
Yes,
that
I
was
do
a
that.
Choice of mine, too.
Okay.
And since you're talking about favorite music, I'll take one of yours from Chuck Berry, Nadine.
Oh, I love that. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh,
quite
it is,
hit.
Yeah. Yeah, just and a killer
then,
record.
And then I would have one more request here, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, well, not tonight, of course, but the week is still there. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking Burt Bacharach was one of my favorite composers.
Okay.
And as far as I remember, he composed for Herb Alpert, This Guy's in Love with You.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, in 68, I believe, in August.
Yes.
And I believe he hit number one with it.
It certainly did well, I'll say that. I don't know if it went to number one, but it did very well, yes.
Yeah, well, is this the only time that Herb Alpert sang.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say that as far as on any hit records, absolutely the only time.
Okay, well, but I think it was...
Some of that early stuff on Dory, yeah, he was in the background and all that, but that doesn't count.
Yeah. Okay, then I have one more thing that I'd like to contribute, and I hope I'm right on this, because there was a question about Mother's Little Helper earlier.
Oh, yeah, right, exactly.
By the Rolling Stones.
Yes.
And I believe, I hope I remember his name right, he was a early member, and he unfortunately he died under mysterious circumstances.
Okay.
In the pool.
Yeah.
I think his name was Brian Jones.
Yes, absolutely it was. And yes, he drowned, and that was questionable.
Yeah. And you're right. And I think the instrument that the gentleman was looking or asking about, I think it's a zither.
Oh, really? Okay.
It could be a zither. Yeah, if you compare it to Paint It Black,
right?
I think he plays a zither on this hit too, and he was
okay. It's not.
Yeah, he was.
I just looked this up. It is not a sitar. It's a dual slide electric 12-string. And it was played by both Brian Jones and Keith Richards to mimic the sound of a sitar.
Oh,
but
I see.
It was
okay.
Jones who did play a sitar on Paint It Black. That is a sitar.
Mm. Yeah,
but
on
Mother's Little Helper, it's a dual slide electric 12-string.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, okay. That's. I know it was similar to the sitar.
Yeah, right. And well, exactly. It was meant to sound like it. And, and that was also Bill Wyman was, that fuzzy-sounding bass. Yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah, right. And then, of course, Charlie Watts was a drummer there at the time. He was an original member of the Stones, too.
Yep.
And
it was a
tour. Well, I'm glad you looked it up, and I had one more question for you here. The backside of Satisfaction is called Under Assistant West Coast something, and I don't understand what that means.
Oh, sure you do.
explain it.
I will explain it, but now that you've said it, I want to see if those lyrics are actually here. I would doubt it. West Coast promotion. Got to spell it right to get this, but let's see. The Under Assistant of West Coast Promotion Man, and do I have lyrics?
Oh, Promotion Man.
Yeah, yeah, right, from a record label, right, exactly.
Oh, okay.
So, okay. So let's get the, Well, I'm waiting at the bus stop in downtown L.A., but I'd much rather be on a boardwalk on Broadway. I'm sitting here thinking how sharp I am. I'm an under-assistant West Coast promo man. Well, that's it. It's basically a go for the record label. Well, our promo groups, when they come to town, well, they laugh at my toupee. Yeah. They're sure to put me down. Well, I'm sitting here thinking how sharp I am. I'm a necessary talent behind every rock and roll band. I sure do earn my pay sitting on the beach every day. Yeah, I'm real, real sharp. Yes, I am. I got a cravat, or if you say so, and a seersucker suit. Here comes the bus. I thought I had a dime. Where's my dime? Oh, I know. I got a dime in here somewhere. So yeah, that's what it is. It's basically a low level label guy.
Oh, I thought so. I was thinking since you were born in Los Angeles, you know what it means.
Well, I think anybody who worked in the record industry knows what it means. But sure.
Well, congratulations for Los Angeles then.
I guess.
Well, I left Los Angeles in a good memory because I set a record once in eating 23 lobster tails at the there was a restaurant you could eat all you can eat either steak or lobster tail for $19.99. I think it was Sizzler or something.
Oh God! And you lived?
Yeah. That's the what?
You lived. I mean, that's the record
I
to me. You're still breathing.
Yeah, I'm still breathing. Well, I was there with one of my girlfriends from Germany. She had a travel agency, and believe it or not, in 1991, a LTU, which is a company out of Düsseldorf, ordered offered Los Angeles back and forth to round trip to Düsseldorf for 300 marks. You know, and that was unbelievable. I said, of course, book it right away, you know. And so we got to Los Angeles and went then on to Vegas, and we all had a good time, you know. So that's how I got it. I've been to Los Angeles before. I thought that's always very nice if you know what you're doing. And so I went to Sizzler with her, and then I set the record. And then the manager came and congratulated me on that. Of course, he wanted to see what I look like. And, of course, I'd been generous. And while eating this, we had ordered and drank 3 bottles of wine. So he was pleased with that because that made up, you know, for the cost of the lobster tail.
Yes, yes. Or close, anyway. Absolutely.
Yeah, so that was a nice memory on 2LA.
So
LA is certainly a very nice town. I also like to drink orange Julius.
Oh, God.
LA
is really not a town. It's 90 suburbs in search of a city.
Yeah, well, I was fortunate that a girlfriend I had then at the time, that was in 1972, she had a beautiful apartment in a great apartment building on the Pacific Palisades.
Back when rent was cheap. Yep. Remember it well.
Yeah, well, I don't know how
it
cheap
was. No, it really was. It was amazingly affordable until it started to rise really at the end of the 80s. But before that, L.A. was dirt cheap comparatively.
Oh, really? Well, I was Pacific Palisades. It was nice. You could see the Pacific and hear it almost if you went on the porch. And I was surprised that Lana Turner was living in the same apartment building. You know, the old actress there.
No, that wasn't unusual. You know, in apartments, you'd go visit a friend and you'd look at the list and you'd see, like, Efren Zimbalist. Like, okay, well, no, I'm not going to see him. But yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was 77 Sunset Strip, right, wasn't it?
Down the block from me, Tony Curtis, you know, so people went to the wrong building. Yeah. They'd say, oh, you live near Tony Curtis. Oh, yeah, right, whatever. Everybody's got to live somewhere. So now we're going to do charts, are we?
Yeah, I'm trying to, but I'm not so sure if I can win anything. But just for the fun of it, I would say when that song by This Guy's in Love with You was high on number one, that would be the week that I would like to go to.
Oh, hell. I don't know what week that would be. Oh, yes, I do, actually. I do. And I know when that song was number one. And we actually, you're right about June, we actually got, that record was number one for 4 or 5 weeks. So, actually, it's the only redeeming thing on that. Well, there's one other. All right, you ready?
Yeah, I try my best, but
okay, so we know that number one, This Guy's in Love with You. You know that's Herb Alpert. Number two, MacArthur Park.
Oh, that was, that was the actor that he came from Ireland,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah. Just give me a name.
A Man Called Horse was his movie.
Name.
The name, that's the, was it Richard?
Yep.
Richard, yeah, okay, then that's, I'm right.
Richard, got a last name for me?
Oh, Richard, what was it, I remember, Richard, maybe you could play.
No, really, I will not play MacArthur's Park. I have my limits.
Oh, no! I know that was a different. It's a different thing. It's just MacArthur's Park. I'm melting in the,
Yes, right, exactly.
Richard Harris, right?
Yes, very good. Okay, number three, Mrs. Robinson.
Oh, that was from the movie Simon and Garfunkel.
Yes, indeed. Number four, Yummy, Yummy, Yummy.
1910 Fruit Company.
Ohio Express.
Ohio Express, okay.
Number five, The Look of Love.
Oh, the Look of Love.
It's interesting. Same name, different song that Leslie Gore did that I really liked. And I really liked this artist, but I hated this song.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, the Look of Love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I remember the version that you mentioned, but this was something that I don't remember right now.
Sergio Mendes.
Oh, Sergio Mendes and Brazil 66. Yeah.
Number six, Moni Moni.
Oh, that was Tommy James and the Shondells.
Yep. Number seven, Think.
Think, Aretha Franklin.
Yes. Number eight, Angel of the Morning. Oh, God, another horrible song.
Oh, Angel of the Morning. It was a young girl.
Yes. She was from the Seattle area.
Yeah, just call me Angel of the Morning. That was, let's see, I don't think I can remember her right now.
Merrily Rush, number nine.
Yeah, Merrily Rush.
Number nine, yeah. Tighten Up.
Tighten Up, that was Archibald and the Dwellers.
Of course, and number 10, Reach Out of the Darkness.
Reach Out of the Darkness. I wish I could reach Out of the Darkness right now.
It was on Verve, and Bill Lowry produced it.
Oh, yeah, I remember it, Come Out of the Darkness, but I think that was the fourth one that I don't know tonight, so I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, Joe South produced it with Bill Lowry, but it was Friend and Lover.
Yeah, Friend and Lover, yeah.
But anyway, you did very well, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, thank you very
much. Thanks, appreciate it.
It was fun talking to you. Okay.
Always. All right, now, good deal. We're back to Richard, and I have his record, and I've been kind, too. I hope he's still there, because I picked one that he should know from 1995. So, all right, Richard, are you still with us?
Yes.
Do you love me? Do you want to be my friend? And if you do, well, then don't be afraid to take me by the hand. That's the refrain through it several times.
Can you give me more?
It started way back in third grade. I used to sit behind Amy Lou Hayes, a pink dress, a matching bow, and a ponytail. She kissed me on the school bus, but told me not to tell. Next day, I chased her around the playground, crossed the monkey bars to the merry-go-round. Amy Lou got caught passing me a note. Before the teacher took it, I read what she wrote. Do you love me? Do you want to be my friend? And if you do, well, then don't be afraid to take me by the hand. If you want to, I think this is how love goes. Check. Yes or no, and that's the title.
It sounds, check yes or no is
the title.
The answer.
Yeah, that's the, so who's the artist? Okay, I'll have you hear some of it. You ready?
Okay, yeah.
All right, sure, why not?
It started way back in third grade. I used to sit beside Emmy Lou Hayes.
He's so recognizable.
Oh, yeah.
So who is it?
I can't think of it.
Oh, man, George Strait.
Oh.
And I was trying to be kind, too. So call me next week, Richard, and we'll try again.
Okay, can I make a song request?
Sure, what do you want to hear?
Terry Jacks.
Oh, God. Seasons in the Sun? You wouldn't do that to
Yeah.
me. Oh, my God. You hate me, Richard. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You really like that song. We finally found the person who likes it.
Yeah, I do.
All right. All right. Well,
okay,
I'll play it, but you better be listening, because I don't want to play it for no other reason. Trust me.
All right.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. Seasons in the Sun. I'm going to be nauseous. All right. Well, that's all right. We'll get to Dave on the North Side again. And there's room for you, too, in the waning moments, if you want, right here on Monday Night Trivia on WGN Radio.
Now listen what I tell you. Hey baby, I want your love.
All right, who are they? WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's your last bumper stumper, and you've got no time to call it in either. Let's see. You've got Naoto in Japan and Dave on the North Side, and I got to give you the answers, too. But let's see if we can quickly do Naoto before time runs out. And then otherwise, you can get the answers on Raleigh.net. So, Naoto, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah. I'm doing very well today, and the connection is not so great, so I probably couldn't hear like half of what you said.
Uh-oh. All right, I'm out of time. Let's talk next week. Call earlier.
All right.
All right, good deal. Now, all right, what did I play? That's what you want to know. Well, I hope so anyway. Green Stamps. We open with Green Stamps by the T-Birds. What Have I Got to Cry About was Ramona King. Easy to Remember was the Rivieras. Crying Over You was the Cruisers. Mama, I Think I'm in Love was Beverly and the Del Capris. Vuviabi was the Platters. My Heart's Desire was the Fabulous Pearls. I Want to Tell You, that's the Precisions. You Found Yourself Another Fool, that's the Elgins. Dreamer from My Heart was Johnny Woodson. And Flee Away was the Calvanes. And on that note, we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. Tomorrow night, there might be a little delay after the Stanley Cup, but check in around 10:15, and let's see where we are. But we'll be on right after it right here on WGN Radio.
Rip Current Rescue, plus Drug Mule Train, and Name That Goon. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News. Real news, real stories, real fun. Drone Patrol. New York's Rockaway Beach became a Rip Current rescue race when two swimmers started struggling in the surf just minutes after lifeguards had clocked off for the day. But before the situation could sink from serious to catastrophic, an FDNY drone operator spotted the pair from high above, deployed a flotation device, and directed rescuers straight to the scene. Looks like when the lifeguards went off duty, the drones were just punching in. Last train to Narksville. Did you know there's a secret tunnel under Southern California's Otay Mesa Freeway? The feds braying like burros over a big border bust. They say they boarded in San Diego. Midnight Express revealing the freight escape, a third of a mile long underground drug rail line from Tijuana, ending below a fake El Chapo on the U.S. side. The tunnel shuttle scuttle coughing up more than $45 million in cartel cocaine, the feds say. Four perps now poised for the pen. That's gall, folks. Cops in Oregon aren't kidding when they call this clown Looney Tune. That's his real legal name. But little else about Mr. Tune is legit, since cops captured the cartoon criminal after Big Bad Bang Bang back and forth. What's Up Croc has a rap sheet from here to absurdity, and now Looney Tune's set to do another 20 years in the Goonie Bin. This imitation's the weirdest form of felony. Stay tuned. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.